Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, so we are diving into part two of our Red Letters Challenge. Anybody do the Red Letter Challenge? I know. It's hard to remember, right? So this is what I want to invite you to do. Bring a notepad in. Anybody remember taking notes in sermons? Like, was anybody brought up this way? A couple people are still doing it. This is great. When I was a little kid, my dad was like, this is your journal and you're going to take notes. And I have notebooks full of notes from Pastor Peter's sermons. I don't remember his sermons, but I know I took notes, and I know they went somewhere in my spirit. So listen, if you want to use your cell phone or whatever, but when I give the Red Letters Challenge at the end of this message, I encourage you to write it down, maybe put on a post-it note in your mirror or something like that, because it's really easy to forget. I understand that. But this last week, we started our Red Letters Challenge, which is looking at the words of Jesus and putting them into practice in our life. And so last week, the challenge was to read the prodigal son story every day and put your name into it, pray through it, ask God, who are you in the story, and really get into the word of God. So I hope that you guys got breakthrough. Did anyone get breakthrough doing that that did do it? I don't know who actually. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Rod. Go, Pastor. So this week, church, let's do the challenge. All right. So this week, we're going to be finishing up last week's message, actually, because we didn't get through it all, because there were so many amazing testimonies. But as I was kind of praying through this sermon today, I actually got an illustration that has to do with the Navy SEALs. So who likes the Navy SEALs? All right. So we're going to get there in a minute. Just track with me. Anybody watch the TV show? What is it called? SEAL Team? I don't actually recommend it anymore because they changed ratings and it got really bad. But at the beginning, it was really awesome. And it was so amazing to watch these heroes go in and out and rescue people. And it was really actually filled you with faith. I believe the main actor is actually a Christian. And it was really inspiring. Kind of made you like want to get up in the morning and get going. It's like if he can do it, I can do it, right? In a lot less way. But I love the Navy SEALs. So we're going to talk about them in just a second. But how many have looked at the church? And when I say the church, I don't normally like to even say that because how many know that a lot of churches are slightly different? Anybody ever noticed that in the world, right? For better or for worse, or honestly, just different. Sometimes it's just different and it's just a different flavor. But how many have ever looked at the church and kind of seen a little bit of a mess? Anybody seen a mess? And I'm not talking about a physical mess. Because if you've been in our church, you have probably seen that. And I hope you can clean it up with us physically with some cleaning. But I'm talking about like, you know, people and just situations that get really messy. And how many know somebody who has looked at the church and seen a mess and then said, well, God must be a mess then? Anybody know somebody who kind of looked and thought, if the church looks like that, that must be what God looks like. Anybody knows somebody like that, right? And it's really sad. But how many know that if you don't read an instruction manual, you're not going to get the outcome that you want, right? And I know I've asked this multiple times before, but how many of us are instruction readers? Right. Exactly. So the next service project will be calling you. But what's more disturbing is the amount of people that are not instruction readers that did not raise their hand. Which may explain a lot of this church. But anyway, I was supposed to put together a desk for my mom and dad when they moved into an apartment. And so I was helping them build this desk. And it was kind of like an IKEA desk. And I kind of put it together. And let's just say I could not even understand the instruction manual, who's ever been there too. So I just gave up and I called my husband. Thank God he was there. But the way I was putting it together, I mean, it kind of was starting to shape like a modern sculpture. Because it was like, you know, instead of being like right angles like this, it was like sticking out up and down. And I mean, it was just going to be kind of tilted on its side. And how many have seen a modern sculpture, like especially in Ithaca? There's some weird ones. And I'm like, what happened there? Did someone not read the instruction manual, right? And then sell it for like $1,000 to the town? I don't know. Anybody ever thought that? Especially if you go to the plantations, right? Ithaca plantations. I'm like, what is happening there, right? But how many know that if the church isn't getting into the red letters of Jesus They're going to look kind of like a modern sculpture piece that might even sell for like $1,000 to the modern world, right? But they've completely missed their purpose. And if we don't follow the instructions of the red letters of Jesus in this Bible here, we might end up at the end of our life and I don't know, maybe we even have some thousands in the bank or whatever. Maybe we've done some good, but maybe we've missed our entire purpose. And so that's my challenge to you guys today. And even it's so easy to judge these days. It's so easy to look at something and then even reflect it back to God, you know? But God is perfect. If there's an issue, it's a human factor. It's not a God factor, right? And it's important to keep that in mind and to look at the scriptures and to look at the red letters to see, wait a minute, where did I go wrong in the instructions, right? Where did I stop forgiving? Or where did I stop honoring? Or where did I stop being generous? Or it's just following the red letters of Jesus. So that's where we're going to get into today. How many people here, it's your first time being your age? Just be honest, we're a real church. Okay, all right. I like the honesty, we're vulnerable here. We do like to be vulnerable. How many here, it's your first time being alive on September 11th, 2022? Anybody? Me too. That's so cool. I love church. We come and we find commonalities between people. Isn't that nice? This is the problem. If we've never been here before and never faced the problems we're facing and we've never been the age we are, no matter what age you are, how in the world do we expect to live out our purpose without a God who goes before us and has written instructions down that are timeless? Anybody realize that? How in the world do we think we're going to get by? I don't know about you, but I just can't. There's just no way. And I find out the days that I don't follow the instructions, it gets pretty bad, right? Deuteronomy 31, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I just love this so much. And I started thinking of God's narrative. Because I used to do video production before pastoring, and I love stories. And it, you know, when you look at the words of Jesus, I believe he told over 30 parables. Isn't that incredible? And so if you're wondering why sometimes I tell stories, it's because it's a WWJD thing, right? I'm trying to put more stories in, but you kind of have to think of some stories to tell, right? But Jesus loved to tell stories. But a narrative is a spoken or written account of connected events. Everyone just say connected events. I started thinking about this, and I realized if life was a TV series, we would be in the same series as Paul and Peter and even Jesus. We would just be in season 2000. Kind of think about that? The event of you coming to church here today is connected to the event of Jesus dying on the cross. We're in the same narrative, and there's no network that's going to cancel the show, right? And I just wrote down a couple descriptions of God's narrative and God's word. This is all found in the Bible. So if you think this is too good to be true, just open up your Bible a little bit more and you'll see where I found it. God's narrative is alive and active. It penetrates deep. His word judges thoughts and attitudes. It's God-breathed. It's for teaching, correcting, training. It's light for the road ahead. It gives purity. It releases blessing. It endures forever. It makes you shine bright. It gives you understanding. It was there at the beginning and will be here after the end. It gives wisdom. It makes us disciples. It sets us free. It saves us and is what sustains us and gives us life. Isn't that good? I'll just put the mic down. We're done with preaching for today, right? How many need to be reminded of what the red letters are actually doing in your life? This is not some exercise. This is not a Hobby Lobby paper that you put on the wall that looks kind of cute, even though those are kind of cool, depending on how you decorate your house or whatever, right? But it's important to remember what these words are actually doing. Amen? And so our theme verse is in Luke 8. It says, so he said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue, everyone just say if. If. How many know if you see an if in the Bible, you want to be on the right side of the if? Anyone ever gotten a little scared of reading ifs? So if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. That word if means to stay, endure, abide, and live. So this is where we're going to get into the seals. Are you ready? So stay, is everyone say S. Stay in the red letters. Endure, everyone say E. because of these red letters. Apply and abide in the red letters. Everyone say A, and everyone say L. Live and wait in the red letters instead of some other letters, right? So I don't normally preach messages that turn into spelled out words, but it's spelled seal, so I couldn't help it. And so in the training I was in 2 weeks ago, the pastor was preaching, and she had watched a video on Hell Week. Has anyone watched any documentaries on Hell Week? Anyone know what Hell Week is? Everyone says, you named my week. I didn't understand. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. Hell Week. There we go. Hell Week is, and I'm not cussing. Hell Week is a few weeks into Navy SEAL training, and they take these SEALs out, and they, for 5.5 days, everyone just say 5.5. That's not very long, right? But for 5.5 days, they get 4 hours of sleep. They're denied caffeine, and they are put through all these trainings that are crazy. I dare you to Google Hell Week. It's incredibly inspiring, and not everybody makes it out. Actually, I think it was at the beginning of this year, someone passed away, unfortunately, from it, which was very rare because they try and make sure that doesn't happen. But it's a very intense training, because if you're going to become a Navy SEAL, they know that you have to endure and you have to be strong. And so when I looked at the definition, it says it tests you mentally, it tests you physically, it tests you with pain and cold tolerance, it tests you with teamwork and attitude and ability to perform under stress with sleep deprivation. And I am not disrespecting Navy SEALs, but this also kind of sounded like a first week with a newborn baby, slightly, from what I hear. But this is like that on steroids, right, if you're a Navy SEAL. And so I began to realize that how many feel like after 2020, and maybe it was before 2022, but after 2020, there's been some testing that's been going on. There's been some mental, some physical, some even pain endurance, some stress, operating under stress. Has anyone felt that way? I know I have definitely felt that way. And so I just want to do a very quick breakdown on what it means to get into the red letters of Jesus and apply them to our life so that we can actually get through Hell Week. Does that make sense? All right, so number one, everyone say S. Stay in the red letters. John 14, 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. But while I was meditating on this week, I realized that we are not divorced to this world. Has anyone ever kind of felt like that? We are not divorced to this world. We don't have visitations with Jesus on the weekends. And the world gets our heart the rest of the week. Amen. Anybody get that? Amen. We are not divorced to this world. Amen. We invite Jesus to make his home 24/7 in our lives. And I know sometimes I've lived as if I'm, you know, you're kind of getting visitation with Jesus, and then you go back out, and then you get visitation with Jesus, and then you go back out. But that's actually not what Jesus died to give us. How many have heard of the song House of Miracles, right? This is a house of miracles. That's not how the song goes, is it? But it's something like that. And I've always sung it, so it's like a corporate declaration. But do you know, I believe the author of that song, I believe their child had actually passed away. And it wasn't like a song of like, hey, let's celebrate. It was like, this is a faith declaration, and maybe miracle doesn't always mean the miracle that we think it means as well. But it's not just a corporate. We're actually saying this is a house of miracles, right? I am a house of miracles with God 24/7. And I just love that. You know, the scripture in Matthew 7, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, right? Everyone knows that scripture. But I was looking up a modern day story of what that would look like, and I stumbled on the Transcona grain elevator. Anyone know the Transcona grain elevator? No? Okay. So the Transcona Grain Elevator was a grain storage facility used by the Canadian Pacific Railway, and it didn't even last a day before the foundation had some issues. On October 18th, 1913, the first hour after unloading, the building sank 1 foot into the ground. How many know that's a problem? If you're a builder in the house, that's a bad day for your job, right? In the first hour, it sank a foot. By the next day, the building was tilted an entire 27 degrees to the west. Researchers later found that the foundation was extremely unstable because it was constructed on stratified clay, which contains layers of silt and salt throughout the layers of the clay. How many of that is a bad day, right? That's a bad day. But I was realizing, if I don't build my morning, or if I don't build, however you do it, if you're spending time with God in the evening or the morning, but if I don't build my day on the words of Jesus, an hour in, I begin to sink a foot. Anybody ever sunk a foot within an hour? How about by day two of not building your life on Jesus, you may be 27 degrees off of Jesus's perspective. Anybody? How about your marriage or your finances or how you're seeing your job or how you're mentally operating? You're 27 degrees off, right? And so I thought that was a really good example and even a visual for what it looks like. And, you know, God was just saying there is a battle for your attention, right? There is a battle for your attention. There is a battle over your affection. And this is a real thing. Where you build your life, what you build your day on will determine life or death. It says there's power in life or death in the tongue, right? And so when we are speaking the words of Jesus or we're not, it's actually life and death. And I think it's really easy to get numb to the culture through TV or through social media or just through people talking. We don't realize that we're getting numb, but we might start to sink and then it's going to hit us. Amen? And so number two is endure. Everyone say E. I have told you these things so that you can turn, this is John 16, so that you can tune into the news channel more than my word. You'll have trouble once in a blue moon, but don't worry, I'm in a battle with the world too. We're in this together. Is that the right translation, or did I just completely botch that? I'm pretty sure I saw some of our Facebooks, and some of us were reading out of that translation, though, this week. I'm just saying, I'm not pointing fingers, but thankfully I don't post on social media when I'm in that mindset, but I have definitely been in that mindset, right? It's like we completely missed the translation. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. What does it say? I have overcome the world. I love that because somehow 2,000 years later, we're still actually surprised when we have to have trials or suffer. Anyone ever been surprised? Maybe not, but I have. Like, really? Right? But Jesus died so that he could actually be with us in this suffering, right? And we're going to get to that in just a second here. But I love this. A pastor that I know, his wife just recently passed away after a long battle with cancer, and they were praying for healing, and it was a very difficult journey. And he got up the day after his wife passed, because I think they kind of knew it might be coming, and so he must have prepared something. And so he got up, and he said, this is the only time in my life, because I won't get this opportunity in heaven, to give God something out of a place of suffering. To give God something out of a place of pain, because there's no pain or suffering in heaven. So I'm going to give God something because he is worthy of it. Isn't that incredible? And then he took some time to heal and stuff, of course. I'm not saying that we don't grieve, but he was just saying, I'm going to grieve, but I'm going to also give God something out of this place while I'm enduring. Isn't that incredible? 2 Timothy 3 is where Paul, this is just powerful. So Paul is sitting in a prison cell about to be executed by Nero. And how many know Nero is not a good guy, right? If you Google him, or you look at a history book. And this wasn't the first time that Paul was in prison either, right? The first time Paul is in prison, he gets broken out of by an earthquake. How many know that's a good testimony? Testimony Sunday comes, you're going to be talking about the earthquake testimony, right? The problem is most of us just end with the earthquake testimony. We say, well, if God broke him out, why can't he break me out? Well, if we journey a little bit farther, maturity would take us a little deeper into Paul's life, and we realize that he was not only in prison once with an earthquake, but he was in prison again. And then, unfortunately, he was in prison a third and final time, right? And so here we're reading that he chose in some of his final words to his spiritual son to talk about the word of God, which I think is powerful because it shows us that he didn't give up on God when there wasn't an earthquake. How many know it's easy to give up on God when there's no earthquake? It's easy to read the scripture when there's an earthquake miracle, but when there is no earthquake miracle, he didn't give up on God. And that's really powerful. And so he's talking about the word of God. He says it's for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many know there are good works right now waiting for you and me, but we aren't actually thoroughly equipped? Right? And that's not a condemnation, because Jesus isn't condemning ever, but he's saying, no, you have everything you need to be thoroughly equipped. Get into the red letters and get equipped, right? And so this is a charge to endure. So I'm almost done here. A is apply and abide. And I mainly talked about this last week, so I'm just going to touch briefly. But if you were here last week, you heard my story about what if I asked Brian to cook a meal for me, right? A dinner meal. And he got all his friends together and they just did a little small group and talked about dinners, but that's all they did. How many know that would not feed me, right? They could even go to the grocery store and collect the ingredients, and they could even clean the whole kitchen. But if they don't cook it, I don't eat, right? And so oftentimes we'll get together as a church and we'll talk about the words of Jesus, and we might even look at how they can affect our lives, and then we walk out the door and it's like we just talked about dinner, but we're all starving. And the problem is there's starving people around us, right? And so we're called to make feasts for the people around us through God's word, through our actions, through our attitudes, right? And so I love this, because I just wrote down a couple contradictions. I think oftentimes when we read the Bible, let me rephrase that. When we don't read the Bible, we think Jesus actually says and gives us permission to worry a lot. And you might say, no, he doesn't. But I mean, I'm looking at your life and my life, and I'd say that we do. Somewhere subconsciously, we think it's okay. When really, if we're reading his red letters, he says to pray earnestly. Right? How about when we don't read his red letters, we can easily think it's okay to get consumed by everything around us. But when we look at his red letters in Luke, he says to worship the Lord your God. You can't be consumed by something other than God and also trying to worship him, right? Worshiping him will get you out of what you're consumed of. How about Mark 6? Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. I like that one. How many, it's your last choice to go away and get some rest, right? Let's just be practical here. Did you know that's actually a red letter of Jesus? Isn't that cool? All right, so let's begin to wrap this up. But I just wanted to ask this question. If we never read it, how will we know it? If we never know it, how will we apply it? If we never apply it, how will we be changed? And if we're never changed, how will we save the world with Jesus? Can I say that again? We're not saving the world, to clarify. Jesus is, but he's doing it through us oftentimes. If we never read it, how will we know it? If we never know it, how will we apply it? If we never apply it, how will we be changed? And if we're never changed, how will the world be attracted to Jesus? And you can insert whatever you want to into there, you know? If you never read it about your, let's say, your finances, how will you apply it to your finances? If you never know God's heart for your finances, how will your finances be changed if you're never applying what he's saying to do with your finances, right? And you can pick anything. I just picked finance because we all have finances, right? But we're not all in the same life season. So insert whatever word you want to in there, but God has instruction manuals, and some of us have some beautiful modern sculptures that are not serving the purpose that they are created to. Are you following me? So let's end this with the S word, or excuse me, with the L. I can spell, right? Everyone say L. Live and wait. I love this. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you've been at church at all in your life, you probably know that scripture. But what I love is that that word wait means to bind together. Just say bind together. Bind together, to gather together. That's according to the Strong's Concordance. So what letters are you binding together in your heart? What are you binding yourself to in your thoughts, in your actions, and what you're paying attention to? What you bind yourself to, what you gather yourself with, determines life or death in your life. Right? And this is a good litmus test, just to do like a kind of like a health check. If you're finding yourself holding on to bitterness, if you're finding yourself being offended often, if you're finding yourself thinking someone deserves something that's not good, if you're finding yourself feeling worthless, If you're finding yourself feeling like you're not enough, if you're finding yourself feeling just completely confused about what to do, it might be time to get into the red letters of Jesus and to look up what that is and to see what he actually has to say about it. How many know the story, The Notebook, the movie? To clarify, I have never watched it. My husband has. Don't ask. But anyway, that was some youth group night years ago. Not here. We did not advocate for that to be shown here, just to clarify. But it was a youth thing. But anyway, I haven't seen it. But I hear it's the story of like a couple, and then like the girl doesn't ever get the love notes. Is that am I tracking right? I'm tracking wrong. Is that do I have the plot right? I have one. I have a thumbs up. Have you watched it too? Wow, how many men in the church? Anyway, we got a bunch of romantic hearts here. Let's bring it, Jesus. But my understanding of the plot is, and if this isn't right, I thought this was right, the man is writing all these love letters to this girl, and they don't ever arrive, so she doesn't realize that he's in love with her. How many feel like that's a little bit like us sometimes? Jesus has written all of these love letters. He's written all of these words that are meant to give life. Remember all the definitions I gave at the beginning of this message. That's not just words. That's reality, right? It does cut deeper. It does give life. It does sustain us. It does give us strength. He's written all these words, and we don't want to be like some girl that isn't getting the letters and thinks, oh, my guy, he rejected me. He abandoned me. God's like, hello, I've got, you know, how many translations and transliterations and how many languages? Just open it up. Open it up and read the words he has written to you. Don't act like it got lost in the mail, right? So why don't you stand on your feet? Today's message was just, it was a little bit simpler because sometimes it's just good to be simple, because if we all got it all the time, well, we'd be a little bit different, wouldn't we? But some of us are going through maybe our own version of Hell Week. And I just want to remind you that you're not going to make it if you aren't being a seal for Jesus, if you aren't staying in the Word, if you aren't enduring by the Word, if you aren't abiding and applying the Word, if you aren't living and waiting in the Word. You're not going to make it. And I'm not being pessimistic here, I'm just being real. But you can make it. In fact, you can do more than make it. You can thrive in it if you're able to be a seal in the Word. Are you following? It's a real simple message, and we're going to get into the exact words of Jesus over the next few weeks. We're going to actually be picking specific words and doing challenges based right in them. So we're going to get practical real fast here and specific. But I just wanted to give an introduction to this, because as I said last week, if we don't actually see who God is, we won't care what he had to say. And if we don't believe his words actually do anything, then why would we waste our time reading them? Right? And so right now, Jesus, we just come before you, and God, we repent forever disregarding your word. We say, God, that we are so sorry for any time where we have let something else define your word rather than you. God, we just choose to believe that your word is alive and active. God, that it can penetrate, that it can breathe new life, that it can teach us, that it can correct us, that it can release blessing on us, that it can give us understanding and set us free even this week. So, Father, I just thank you for putting such a fire under us that we won't be able to not read your word. You'd give us a distaste for anything that is poison to our life right now. And you would get us hungry for your word like never before. Let us be a hungry church, known for our hunger, in Jesus' name. Amen. So your challenge this week, and the challenges are going to get so much more fun. I'm excited for a couple of them coming up. But this one, we're going to get just a little bit real one more time here. And your challenge is to get into the words of Jesus. Just pick one of the red letters. If you don't have a red letter Bible, I encourage you to get one. It makes it easier for this sermon series, quite honestly. Just open it up and pick a red letters. Get into it. Read it. Put yourself into the story. If Jesus is talking to someone, pretend he's talking to you. And ask God, what are you saying to me? And then just listen. And Holy Spirit's going to show you, even if you've never been able to get something out of the Bible, if it's always been boring to you, he's going to change that this week in your life. And then I encourage you to let someone else know here. All right? All right. So be a witness this week, and we will see you next Sunday. All right? Bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.